Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
You are listening to True Warrior Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kid Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, I now have the great opportunity and pleasure to speak with our head honcho, a fearless leader of the program. This is he and I spoke a few shows back when we were doing when I did my tribute episode to Jon Anderson, former player, and now he and I now have the full opportunity and chance to sit down and talk about this upcoming season, as well as a little bit about his time coaching here at Warren Central. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show for the very first time, Mr. Jason West.
Thanks for having me on. Warriors,
man. You know what, Coach West, you have a great home. We sat here and talked for the last 2.5 hours or so, man. You defended me well with my top 50 list and everything like that, so I appreciate
somebody had
that.
To do it.
You know what, Coach, we have a great program here, and a lot of that is now with you coming into, I believe this is your sixth season. I think
seventh
so.
Now.
Seventh. Wow, that's incredible. Right. It was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah.
Dude, I don't have any fingers left. Yeah, is that seven? Seven, yeah.
You've been a part of a lot of special teams, and I think this one, a lot of people don't think we're going to be nearly as special as what we were last year, but I do see we have a lot of great potential. Talk to me about some of the guys and some of the players that you have, that we have coming back this year on this team that can help make this a special season for us.
We actually have a very good group of young men coming back. They're good in the classroom. They're good, you know, on the field. And when you have kids that have that combination, you always have a chance to be successful. So I'm pretty excited about that on both sides of the ball. You know, on offense, we have two or three linemen that have had action, you know, with Dennis Prater and Jake Wellman. Mm-hmm. You know, they're both very high IQ football players. They care about the program, you know, that, and then you add Alex Hernandez, who's, you know, who cares more than him?
Exactly. Yeah. Alex and Jake, I like them a lot. They've grown a lot into their bodies, and it's so crazy to see how Jake is so much bigger than his brother Trace, and how physically talented and smart he is right now. Not saying Trace wasn't, but
no, he's bigger, smarter, better looking. I mean, everything that you can think of, he is just better than Trace, you know, and I completely agree with that assessment.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, Trace. You're much better looking.
Ha! Now, we have I want to say a special opportunity here. We lose David Bell. We lose Ramir Elliott. We lose Jaden George. We have a real special opportunity in front of us to really continue a winning tradition in our program here. But I think you were just had you were thrown a little bit a couple weeks ago. A wrench was thrown into your system, and now you have two guys coming into the program that really, or taking, not coming into the program, they were already on the team last year, but they were guys that didn't have the pressure on them. Now they do. Can we talk a little bit about what's going on at the most important position on the field a little bit?
Is that okay? Left and right guard?
Well,
yeah. I think Chris Patterson and Dennis Hubbard are going to be amazing. And
awesome.
They're big-bodied kids. They, you know, once we get a vertical push with them and they understand what's going on and start to defeat all the fronts and stunts, they're going
to
be amazing.
We got to put more pressure on their offensive line coaches to make sure they're geared up and ready to go.
No doubt about that. Coach Hudgens, what are we doing? So, you know, I think they're going to be fine. But, yeah, the quarterback position is always a paramount and pivotal position that, you know, but we got a lot of good kids there. And there's a lot of people that would love to have all the weapons that you get and the accolades that come with that position. And even the pressure and stress, it is big at Warren Central.
You know, absolutely.
If you're a quarterback at Warren Central, you're going to get some gravity. You're going to get some, you know, good, bad, in between. So mm-hmm. I think Kobe Moore and Maddox Tavernier are going to really do a good job vying for the position. They care about the program. They've been with it since day one.
Yes.
The team is first with them and their mentality. And, you know, Kobe, who's a tight end, said, yeah, you know, I'll do it. And that's the kind of player you want. That's a football player. And you can win a lot of games with football players.
Definitely.
And great teammates. So, you know, nobody cares about the program more. And Kobe, Alex, Jake, Dennis, those guys are just amazing up front. So, you know, we have a good core battery. And then, you know, you put Randy in there. And with Chris, DeMarcus, you know, Derek, and a few of those guys on perimeter, and Travis. I mean, we got some big bodies. We got a new kid that moved in. Not a kid anymore. He's big. He's bigger than me. You know, Michael Clark, that's a wonderful young man. That he's pretty special, too, I think. I think we just have a lot of pieces there. It's just going to take us a couple minutes to put it together, you know, just because they're all kind of new.
Absolutely.
You know, we just be patient. We're going to have some good, bad, and ugly, like offenses do usually early in the year. But I think game hopefully 4 or 5, once they start to figure things out, they could actually, if we stay healthy and get some glue to us and some toughness and some wherewithal, we could be a pretty, you know, functional unit by the end of the year.
See, I completely agree with you. And back to Kobe, you know, I had an opportunity to talk with him, not on the show, but just outside, you know, see him in the hallways and stuff like that. He is really a bright young man, and he's really he has an aura about himself. He doesn't seem like to get down. You know, he stays upbeat, up tempo. You know, he's ready to go on to the next thing. And really, I think he and the team, I think, are in a good position just from just his actions and how great of a leader he is. It's crazy that he's in this position now, because when I was there at the team camp, you know, his team ended up being number one that day.
That's right.
And now here he is. He wasn't in that position that he is now, and now he's looking. The rest of the team, are, you know, they're all firmly behind him to really help lead this team going forward. And I think that speaks volumes, man.
He is an awesome young man. You know, he's the best way I can explain him is Kobe's a kid that doesn't even know he's good looking. You know, like I wish I looked like him one day. You know, he's got the body, got the frame,
long hair too.
Oh, long hair! I love to have hair. I just like to have hair. So he has so many things going for him that's unbelievable. You know, he's 6'3", he's 210 pounds, he's a 3.7 or 8 student. You know, he wants to go to Ivy League schools. He wants to do something special. He's, you know, he has vision. He can see past his hand. He's not myopic, and he's unselfish. So he's great. And then when you go to lunch, go to lunch this week and just go watch what he's doing. Most of the kids are sitting there cutting up with their friends, hanging out, eating a chicken sandwich or whatever they do. Kobe will be over there with his Chromebook watching football. I've watched him do that for 2 years straight. He sits usually at tables with one or two or even by himself. And he just watches film. You know, he's a consummate professional. He wants to do well. He cares about the game. You know, I don't know what he is at the next level. He could be a quarterback. He could be a tight end, flex tight end. But whatever he does, he's going to go 100%.
Seems like he's going to be successful whatever he does.
Doesn't matter, yeah. He's going to – I'd vote for him if he's president. So, you know, he's just that type of kid, you know, that as a coach you just get excited about.
Do you going into the season here, do you look at a lot of what you did from the previous season and say, okay, how can we improve on these type of schemes and these type of plays? Or like, no, okay, this didn't work too well for us. Let's get rid of that. How much from year to year does that impact you on moving forward to the next season?
A good amount, actually. You know, I think most good staffs, you know, they adapt to what they have. You can't control what you get. It's not college or pro. I'm not drafting someone. I'm not picking bodies.
If only we could.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? So, really, we have to pick schemes that match the bodies that we have. So, that's the most exciting part about high school football, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, when you go to the clinics, you're going, okay, I went from Jaden George to Kobe Moore. How are they different? Okay, what do we got to do? Oh, wait a minute. We lost David Bell and Romero. So, okay, so we got this. We got a Randy Wells, who's a very dynamic back, but is he a gap back compared to a zone back? So you got to really, really delve into it and really talk to your staff and trust your staff and let them go do the research. And then together we all come up with hopefully a really great plan that fits the scheme of the whole, not even just a starting quarterback, because I don't wish it, but if the starting quarterback gets hurt, it has to fit the kind of the backup too. You can't just change offenses game three.
Correct.
You know, so in college or pro, you're going to have three or four or five, six quarterbacks that come in and can handle that exact same scheme. So high school coaches don't get enough credit really for how versatile they have to be to match all the kids, that all the variables that they have every year. It's really a dynamic process and really the most fun process of high school football.
And you mentioned how Randy Wells is going to be coming over from the defensive side of the ball to play offense and running back, where a position that he used to play before he went over to the defensive side. Was that a hard switch for you to do, to convince Coach Mann and those guys, or was it something that everybody, you know, felt like was the right move that had to be made?
Well, Coach Mann, Coach Clark, and all those guys especially were like, what are you going to take our defensive guys for? Because, you know, Warren's known for a little bit of defense. I heard, even though they only got four D linemen on the all-time, you know, 50 team.
Well, they only have four defensive linemen, but they have about 10 linebackers.
I had to spin it.
DBs, including the number one player of all time. But you know what? We're not going to get into that.
We don't want to digress. But Randy actually was an offensive kid his whole life. And we were a little thin at safety his sophomore year. We asked Randy after game three or four. He had just played. Brandt had a great running game against Cathedral and a couple of other teams on a JV. And I'm like, guys, he's dynamic. And everybody's like, yeah, what have you been waiting for? And it takes a while for me because I never want to move up a kid too fast.
I understand that. That could ruin a kid,
truthfully. It absolutely can. And I love the kids way more than winning football games. So we're never going to move somebody up just to win a game or because we have to or fill a spot. That's just silly. So we had, you know, about week four, him and Marquise Cross were just playing at such a high level. And they had an emotional maturity about them. And so we moved Marquise up. And we said, Randy, come on up, but it's going to be at safety. Do you want to do that? He's like, anything it takes to get on the field, that's my guy. So we put him out there, and it was a learning curve. He never really played safety, but I'll tell you what, by the end of last year, no one wanted to run the ball because when he hit you, it was like a lead ball. I mean, he's a thigh knocker. You know, when he hit you, kids didn't want to keep running the ball the whole game, and that's, you know, football's a physical game, and, you know, we're going to hit you. We're going to try to run through your face. If your quarterback's going to carry a fake, yes, we're going to hit him too. We're going to hit everything. So
he was definitely, you know, a tough player for that defense last
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
I mean, all-state, all-mixed selection.
Yeah, so when you lose something like on that side of the ball, it does hurt them a little bit, but they knew it was going to happen. It was long-term plans because we knew we had Romier. And then at Warren Central, I heard they had a couple good running backs too.
Just a few.
Just a word on the street. So we look and go, all right, who's the next? And then we got like two or three freshmen right now that are very dynamic. And so we're always planning for the future. I don't think if your program's not planning for the future, you're not a program. You're just a football team. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a difference. And we are trying to be a program all the time. And we're trying to make sure that kids are in the right slots and spots. And Randy fit that mold.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think Randy's the best football player in Indiana. I've said that publicly, and I'll say it again because he's old school. He can throw a ball. He's our holder. He's going to kick off probably next week for us. He's going to be our punter.
Wow.
He's going to run the ball. If we get in trouble, he'll probably go play DB and probably be our wildcat back. So I haven't seen a guy in 6A, 5A, whatever.
Sounds
you
want to call like it. He's playing a little bit like a guy you had in 2013 and 2014 there that went to Notre Dame a little bit there.
Yeah, this McKelty Williams kid, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that
and he's going to play in the NFL, and it's not because he's a wow guy. It's because he's a consummate professional that can play football.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always going to be, I think football's moving to away from football players and to more to the genetic lottery winners, length, speed, and all that
junk.
It's happened the last 5 years badly. And that's why you see a lot of teams that aren't very good. They're not taking football players anymore. And Randy Wells just happens to be a football player.
Yes.
So I like that for the Warriors.
I like it too.
I feel pretty good about him, and I hope he has a great year.
So we go from offense here. Let's switch over to defense. With us losing, of course, so many great linebackers, a linebacking core that included greats like Christian Hastings, Cavi Minor, Malik Mile, Dayron Wade was a slash defensive lineman, linebacker type guy, and some other greats, Isaiah Warren, and other great players like that. and losing some great defensive linemen as well. How have you guys been able to adapt on that side of the ball moving forward for this season?
Well, the best news, you know, when I came to Warren and what was that, 13?
Yes.
100 years ago?
I know, right?
There was a lot of things established that I didn't know one. And no one understands that. When I got here, I knew no one. I had no idea who anybody was. I didn't have an in. I didn't have a hookup. I came here because it was a great opportunity to be in this, a great school system. And that's where we lived. And it made sense for our kids. So when we came here, I had a lot of learning to do. I had to learn everybody. I had to learn the administration. I had to learn the football coach. I had to learn the staff. I had to learn the students, schedule, everything. But the one thing I learned real quick, that the kids over here like to play football and they like to hit, they like to play defense. And that was established a long time ago with, you know, with Coach Tutsi and, you know, even Coach Wright before. There's just been so many amazing coaches that have came through here that I know I'll never really matter in the scope of things. And that's good for me because I don't want to.
Don't sell yourself short, Coach.
No, and it's good. I like that. And because everything got put in perspective where I didn't have to set that table, you know, and so that was fantastic that you came over here and the kids are not afraid to work. They're not afraid to grind. They're not afraid to hit. They're not afraid to, they love the challenge of defense. They love the challenge of being in big games. And that was all established by the administration and the football programs way before me. And that's going to be great way after I'm gone. So, you know, that was something that was the best, and that is still true today. Mm-hmm. So our kids go out there this year and they aren't the prettiest to look at. There's no great length over there. There's no, I don't think there's a D1 player that has 10 offers or anything like that.
Nothing crazy like that.
But I don't want to play against them. I like them. They rally well. They play with great leverage.
We have
they like
to
hit
and
they can cover on the tops. Yeah, they do. So, you know, if they stay healthy and play within their realm and play together, I see them being a very good defense, and I'm really excited about them.
Like I said, I love our back-end secondary. Javion and Willie come back. We have Leo Warren, who I think is going to be a big-time player for us. Didn't play much last year, but I think he's ready. Taziah Relford, I think he is ready to step up and play big time. Deshaun Echols. I've heard great things about him. I've seen him do some good things. Marquise Cross, Damon Jones, Durante Smith as well.
Cheese is doing well.
Yeah, those guys right there. If we can get a great unit and really meld and be ready by this time come October and November, I think we definitely have the makings of something special to where we can end up downtown again.
I think so too, because, you know, we're 6-8 deep up front. They don't have great length, but they move really well. They're very strong, strong kids, and they have great leverage. So, you know, you talk about Marquise, Kevin Powell, Damon Jones, you know, Jaden Perkins is playing at a high level. You know, Cheese, all those guys you named are doing a fantastic job. And there's more, and I know I missed a couple, but
I especially want to see how my boy Jalen Frazier. I'm very anxious to see how he does this year as well.
Three juniors out there, So. I just made that up. Hope that works. But he made a play this week that reminded us of DeJuan.
I saw that
put
play.
That out on Twitter. And I'm like, and it's weird. It's like watching your own kids and how they remind you of each other. So I was like, oh, that gave me chills. Well done, Coach Mann. But I like our box. I think the linebackers was a big question mark for us this year because we lost some good ones. But
some great ones, yeah.
I think Andrew Nelson and Isaiah, you know, Farrell and Robledo and Echols and that group, Houston, and, you know, there's some good ones in Ray that they kind of, you know, we got Coach Carrico, Coach Wellman, the old sages in there. They're not going to let them play any type of other football other than the right way. And they good. And I like us on the back end. They move really well and they're a hearty little group.
They're tough back
there. Javion, nobody can get open on him except for me, which is weird. I mean, I can't drop a pass when I go on routes against him. So that's strange, but, you know, it is what it is. And then, you know.
Are you telling me you're a ringer coach out there?
Only against him. I can't catch any balls. I can't get open against anyone except Javion, which it's an anomaly. You know, and Taz, I'm faster than Taz, which eats him up a little bit. He was upset about that last year, but he may have passed me. I dropped a click in the offseason. I gained about 10. So Taz has got a good shot to beat me in a 40 now. But I like Leal. He was on offense side of ball last year. He's moved to defense. And he's an unselfish player, and he's growing. He's a good wiper. You know, he gonna throw fade on him. He can go over and clean it up. And once he gets his run defense down, I think he's gonna be a very, very, very good safety.
He plays a pass very well.
He does.
And
he's clean.
He's a student of the game. I see him watching film all the time. Like, Lalo, stop watching. Please pay attention in class. Man, just
we have the greatest collection of football nerds ever. And that's what I do enjoy about the program. And again, it was established before me. The problem is we have Chromebooks in school. So I always get the email, hey, he was watching. So I've asked them to turn off Huddle during the day so they can actually focus on academics. That's why we're here. So I got a little, you know, a little pushback on that. Kids are upset, but they're going to be fine. They need to, you know, they can do that at night when they can shut down Fortnite or 2K or or West Coast basketball games where no one plays defense, you know, and compare LeBron to Michael, but it's not a comparison.
They got
to
watch Curry and LeBron and those guys go at it.
Yeah, chalk in the air, no defense, you know, shoot half court shots. It's like watching a horse. It's not basketball. LeBron, he's a good player though. He's a great athlete. But
absolutely,
MJ's number one.
I'm just glad my Mavericks were able to take care of business in 2011.
Mavericks still got a team? I thought they dismantled after Dirk.
Oh no! My boy Luka's coming.
He is okay. I'll give you that.
Luka and the unicorn. Ooh, we're gonna be special. That's basketball talk. We can talk about that later.
I'll come back for a basketball show. I got to be heard about this. I'm upset with basketball in its present state.
I understand.
You know, when I was a kid, you could buy a jersey in baseball and basketball, and that jersey was good for cheap, and it lasted. Now it's super teams and sellouts and sell your team out. I just don't. Not a big fan.
The game has changed a lot from when you and I were coming up and watching basketball in the 90s.
Unfortunately, it has. Now it's about branding and dollars and playing with your AAU buddy. And I mean, that's good, but it's bad.
Yeah. But let's get into something else. And I praised you and your staff about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now. You guys have and I feel like my hat's off to you. You guys have really put together a very fine staff from Coach Mann and Coach Clark, Coach Carrico, Coach Wellman, Coach Tucker on the defensive side of the ball as well, to the offensive side with you and Coach Rob, Coach Spann, Coach Bunnell, and Coach McClain, and some other guys in between there. You guys really have a great bond. I mean, you guys were all here, but when I came in, and you guys were all, you know, happy to see me, and some guys were, you know, ready to rip me to pieces over my top 50 list, but you guys all
into the Lions Den.
I did, but
you are not afraid. I got to give you a little dap on that.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. When I came up with it, you know, I knew I would face backlash, but it didn't stop me. I knew it had to be done because it had never been done before. And if we get into situations where we're afraid to do things that have never been done, nothing will ever get accomplished.
Yeah, you have created quite the stir. I can't even go to Meijer and somebody stopped me talking about this top 50.
Well,
so, you know, you did your job.
I did my job.
I really want to see you put out, though, all-time teams, first team, second team, third team. I think you got to, because then that'll separate the numerics of the all-time 50. I think, and you can do it.
I can do it with just off of my...
And people are waiting for it.
I'm sure they are.
People got to know.
And people would be highly upset with me even more. Because I would probably put guys on the list that I didn't think were top 50. But if you put them together collectively as a unit like they were, I would still think that's the best unit that ever was assembled.
But that's why it's good. Why it's good, man, because you have been with this program for so long and cared about, and people don't know you, and I know people just see you as somebody is talking about the program, but they don't get it. You are the program. You're somebody who's been here. You live it, you breathe it, you work at the school selflessly, and I don't know what they give you or pay you, but you do it. You show up every day to care about this school.
I don't really do
about
it for
this
money.
Community. No, you don't. Well, I don't think nobody does. Bad profession for money, but you show up every day and you care about these kids. And it doesn't even matter if they play football or not, but then you go on top of it and have a great passion for the football players, and you're at every game. You show up, you're at practices. And I see you in the cafeteria, and you're always giving positive love to people. And that's a big deal that most people, they like to tweet their moments of goodness, but you can't tweet a lifestyle of movement, and that's what you do. And you'll always have my, you know, great respect and for that. And that's why our kids love you and the East Side loves you. And that's always going to be intact. And so whether you put out 50 or 100 or agree or disagree, it's always going to be good. Yeah. I don't think anybody else could put one out besides you and Liv.
Well, you know what? I was, like I said, I'm the godfather. So every list that, comes after me was inspired by me and they're my sons. So there was a list that came out. But you know what? I do, like I said before, I do this show and I do what I do because there is a history that has to be taught. And me really putting out this list was me doing my own history lesson, but it inspired others to do more research and really talk about others that I did not cover, which was also something I figured what happened. But you know, our program is so much bigger. Like I said, we've been a program that's been around for over 80 years now. Our program is going to be there long after you and I are gone. And so guys have to understand, you know, what happened back in the day when we were not doing well. What happened when we were doing well? Like, how did this trophy get on the wall? Who was the starting linebacker? Who was the starting quarterback? What did they do in the process of reaching the ultimate goal of bringing this trophy back to Warren Central? That's the reason why I do this show and why I talk to our players and really let them know, like, you are playing for so much more than yourself. The W on your chest, the W on your helmet, it means so much more than what you possibly understand.
I agree. And I think your top 50 represented that. It may not have been the best top 50, but when you put in Michael Tutsi, who was a Warrior for life and this had a life changing, he only played 1 year, but he deserves to be in that top 50 because he's a top 50 Warrior for life and he's going to die a Warrior. And that's who he is and when what he is.
And when he comes in, and great that you mentioned him, when he comes into a program, and like I said, he had been playing the LC the first 3 years. He comes over as a senior. He does it. He knows a little bit of those guys, but he never played with them.
Right.
So he just happens to be able to be good enough to start. And he makes, in his very first game, the hugest play.
Big play at Center Grove.
Huge play on the road in front of everybody. And his father's right there cheering him on. That was a huge moment. I don't know how many other people would have been able to do that. And he did plays like that every single game through that entire season.
Great.
Through that entire season. And I felt like, okay, people will say, oh, you just put him on there because you and Coach Tutsi are so close. And you look, I can understand that. But guys, the way he played and how he impacted the game here during that 1 year, him and Dijon impacted the game that 1 year together. It was so important. Like, I can't tell the story.
Deal.
I can't tell the story of our program without talking about
you can't.
How huge Michael was. Because, I mean, he came up idolizing guys like Jeremy Finch and Darren Evans and those stuff.
He was a ball boy. Exactly. He's a junior warrior. He is what makes the program go.
Yes. And when you come over and you finally had the opportunity to play like that, most people can't handle the pressure. I know so many guys that couldn't handle playing football for either their father that was a coach or in the same program that their brother was and just wasn't under it. They just weren't able to carry the pressure of what it all entailed. And
absolutely.
Michael, absolutely, he rise to the level and he excelled.
Oh, man, he did. I got a back fracture from that game. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, my God, no.
Coach Tutsi.
Bear hugged you?
Yes. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's powerful. His speed of power is impressive. And he came up and gave me a hug, and my God, I still have a low back fracture from that. So I'm going to send that Bill Coach Tutsi. Side note, but I love it how you put like Andre Nicholson. Nobody knows him much because he only played a few games, but he had a neck issue. I watched him play. He would play in probably in the NFL if he didn't have something like that. So I like how you took the whole process into play, not just off talent or accolades or anything like that. So I thought it was good. Of course. I mean, if 100 people do a top 50, there'd be 100 different lists. So
exactly.
That's part of it.
And another thing I really loved about my list was a guy like I included a guy. Everybody knew guys like Ramir Elliott and David Bell were exceptional talents at the end of the season and deserved to be on any top Warren list of all time. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But what a lot of people just don't give the credit for, and all season I felt like Jaden George deserves so much credit than what he wasn't getting. Like, his stats, touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
He was amazing.
Any other year, I feel like he would have been a Mr. Football candidate, winner, All-State, All-American. Like, those.
It was unfortunate that they were all so good together.
Yes.
Because you can only give it to one. And he wouldn't be on Alabama's roster if he didn't do well or had that ability.
And I said exactly that. Nick Saban don't take chumps.
No, he didn't call me for no reason.
Exactly.
Nick Saban doesn't just call people. Their OC doesn't call people to say, hey, how you doing? How's your lawn? Looks pretty green. No, they call you for purpose. They're busy people and important people. And so, you know, they added him to a roster for a reason. He has an ability and he's a great young man. And the best is yet for him. And he knows what he signed up for in a highly competitive environment. But, you know, he's okay with it. And that's what makes our Warriors do so well in college.
Yes.
Our kids compete. So they're not much afraid. They last because they competed here.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you don't play till you're senior. You don't play well till you're senior sometimes. And people don't get that. You wait your turn. And
you get better. You study the game.
And you go to study tables 2 to 3 days a week. And you have to get up at 6 a.m. all off season. So when you go to college, there's no shock. So our kids, when they go to college, you're like, oh, this is easy. Because you don't have to go to school half as much. So they love it, you know. And they do really well. And all our kids that go to college, for the most part, I handle it, you know, spectacularly. So, you know, I couldn't be more proud of our Warriors that are out there in college right now. I know there's 30 or 40 of them out there playing.
We have so many guys out there at all different levels, for all NAIA all the way to Division I, FCS guys.
You name it. 23 out there that last class.
Man, it was crazy. And like I said before, you guys have done a great job of coaching up our players and getting them ready. Have you ever felt like coming in, or really when you were coming into the program, Coach, were you ever really afraid of not being successful after you had success at LC? Was that something?
Oh yeah,
that kinda
scared to death. I'm scared of it now. I mean, no one can put more expectations on you than you. I've never been pressured by this administration or AD. Nobody's ever even talked to me about football, to be honest with you. They talk about the kids. Are they good? Do they have what they need? It's been the most amazing ride ever. I can't complain about one thing. And so that really leaves all the pressure to you, or in myself, you know, in this instance, myself. And if you really care about the kids and the product you're putting out, that is a ton of pressure. And I'll be honest, I probably overpressure myself and overstress, and and I just never quit thinking about it or doing it. And I wish I could take a page from some other people's playbook and relax and let it go and have some weeks off or something, but it's just not my style and not the way I handle things. So it's a blessing and a curse, you know, just like many people you've coached with and worked with. And because you never want to let anybody down. What a devastating thing to let a child down, or let your school down, or let Absolutely. Your community down. So people don't understand that pressure, and that's why most people don't last very long in these gigs.
Because it is tough. I mean, we are.
It's not the pay. It's not anything like it. It's just the pressure.
We are a program that is, like it or not, your expectations every year is to be competing to win a state championship.
That's right.
And so many people, you know, think, oh, well, that's a great job. I mean, you're going to get top athletes like that every single year. Just roll them out there, put a ball, you know, just execute. It sounds that simple, but it's absolutely not, man. It takes some coaching up. It takes molding guys to even be that type of good player. And even then, it's still hard to do.
Yeah, because people don't get it. They don't get the overall process. Like this year, we have no D1 players right now. We had one. I think we'll have two or three by the end of the year, but in this class, everybody's like, Warren got all this talent. You just walk out with all this talent. What? Brownsburg has 6 or 7 D1 kids right now. Cathedral will have a few, you know, Carmel has 4 or 5. The D1 stuff, people clutters people's mind. Mm-hmm. And we really haven't had that many the last few years. You know, DeJong was our only one in that class. Julius Prince was the only one in his class. Last year we had 4. Was a fortunate class, because D1 talent is based off length.
Yeah.
And we're not a lengthy team, and I don't know if we ever will be, because length is genetic and luck. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you a football player, though, and it does make you a high school football player, because thank God football is still a team game.
Yes.
And as long as it's still a team game, we'll always have a shot. And our kids will work hard, and if they move well and they move well together, they'll always have a chance to win a game. And we just got to get that mentality that we can do it. And we have recently. So hopefully we can continue that vibe and continue to grow. And I base talent off of things that are different. Mm-hmm. You know, talent is the person you are as a whole, not if you can catch a ball or hold a ball or kick a ball. That's just a skill.
Now, so let's move on here one last thing, because it's getting late here. I know you got a long day and a long week ahead of you, Coach. I don't want to hold you too long.
That's all right. This is football. I'll do it all night.
Hey, well, I may run out of batteries, but we'll find more if we need to. This past week, we faced off against Carmel in a scrimmage. How was that compared to years past? Because that was something very different when I first heard about and had it confirmed to me that we were going to be facing an in-conference foe. Before the first game of the season. Was that different for you and your staff and for the players, or was it just like, oh, well, another team, another game, let's go?
Doesn't matter who you play. Everybody gets caught up into it, but I don't. Doesn't matter who you play, when you play, what week you play them. It matters how you prepare for them each week and what's going on with your team that week. You know, are you healthy? Are you not healthy? Luckily, in Indiana, the regular season doesn't mean anything. You know, so, and, you know, and usually MIC teams at the beginning of the year are usually terrible. We're all terrible because we're replacing 40 seniors, 30 mm-hmm. seniors every year. We're not a small school where you have continuity and your kids been there since kindergarten and all that stuff.
Exactly.
We have a lot of dynamic, a lot of transiency, a lot of change, numerics that are crazy. So you have to juggle a lot of balls. So to us, it was great to scrimmage Carmel. One, they're well coached, they're classy, they're sharp, they're clean. I don't care if we play them six times. It really doesn't matter. 6-2, 4-1. You're going to play somebody.
True.
So you might as well play good teams that make you better. You know, I saw a thing tweeted out the other day. I think it was Ed Reed through Whitlock through a tweet is, you know, you don't lose games. You learn from them. Mm-hmm. You know, you win or you learn. And so that was a scrimmage against Carmel, a great opponent, so well coached. You get exposed early. I mean, what better way to get better than to get exposed for the things you stink at? And because there's a lot of good football teams, a lot of great coaches out there. So I'd rather get exposed and find out what we're weak at than, you know, because winning is a great deodorant.
Absolutely.
It covers up a lot of things.
And you losing stink at. Or like I said, being exposed, you know, you learn so much more about yourself and what you need to get better at.
Yep.
To prevent another situation like that. And it's really something, you know, a lot of these kids that are going to be seniors or getting more playing time this year that didn't get playing time last season, they're going to be in a new position because, like yep. I said, most of those guys, they didn't play or they played sparingly. And, you know, we won all those games. We won undefeated. And so now they're being put into a situation where they don't have anybody to fall back on like they did last year. And now they're being counted on to be great players for us.
Yes, and that's why I'm saying if you're going to play a MIC team, play us early. Beat us, because one, we don't care. I don't care if it's a 2A team, 3A team, 5A team, 6A. We don't really care because we know we're going to have to play them again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you collect data and you build depth and you know you're going to lose players because the physicality of the game is brutal. And so like last year, we lost 11 first and second stringers, for example.
Wow.
And nobody knows that, but that's because you don't notice it. You just keep plugging along in our world at a 5-4-3-2A-1A school. That's devastation.
Yeah. I mean, that sets the program back 3 or 4 years.
It does. So people don't get that. Everybody's talking about these smaller schools. Yeah, I get it. There's great programs. They're amazing. But you put them in our schedule. It's like if Eastern Michigan beats, you know, Purdue, awesome. Great one game set. You did mm-hmm. it. But go, if you really feeling yourself, getting a Big Ten for a minute.
Yeah.
And you know, do it again. Yeah. Let me see what you got at the end of the year. And that's the thing people don't get. The total onslaught of the teams, the coaching levels of each team. Because you play them a second time, the coaching is out of this world good. You know, they see it. They felt it. It's not a one-game set. It's the second time for all the marbles. And when you collect all that data, you realize those are pretty darn good teams out there.
Absolutely. And really, now that you say play in a team a second time again, I think last year when we faced Center Grove and Carmel in back-to-back weeks in the semi-state and in the state championship game, I think those are two of the probably best coaching staffs that we went up against last year. Mm-hmm. What was your mindset going into either of those games last year and how were you able to get our team prepared to, you know, face those teams again?
It's difficult because, you know, the going against a team a second time is always, it's difficult for both teams. But it's usually advantageous to the team that lost because only, you only have one way to go. You know, the other team has, it can go the negative. The other one team can go the positive. So it is difficult.
There's no tomorrow.
That's right. And so you have all this film, you have all this data, you find out who's, and then you're going against really good coaches like North Central or Center Grove, or they're just, they're excellent and they have great staffs in place and they're not going to let make the same mistakes. So you have to create new mistakes, and that's the thing. It makes it hard. And so, you know, I don't know if it's a, it's a lot of mental, because the kids, if the kids have beat them, that team, then you got to reconfirm that it can do it again, but don't get outside of your wits and control yourself and your emotions, because kids, if they've done it once, they think they can do it a thousand times. They're teenagers. They're not adults. So their mindsets are very different than an adult mindset. Or if you lost to them, it's hard to overcome it. You know, hey, you got to bend back. You can do this. So it really depends what happens in a regular season. But the main thing is to continually prepare to keep progressing. No matter what team you play, you have to keep having upswings. Because the best teams will always have that, if that makes sense. So it doesn't matter who you play. It matters that you keep improving on the little things, on those little areas. So I enjoy playing strong teams at the end of the year, because even if you win or lose, I don't get caught. I have no idea how many games we've won. I don't know my coaching record. Somebody asked me the other day, how many wins you have? I don't know.
I think your coaching record here is like 50 and 20 something, I believe.
Couldn't tell you. I had no idea, because it doesn't matter to me so much. It matters about, by the end of the year, have we approved enough to be in contention? And even though Ben Davis beat the brakes off of us 2 years in the regular season at their place, you know, we had a chance to beat them at their place. Yeah. So even though we lost, I was really proud of that. I was proud of that group, because they could have just rolled over. Yeah. And they didn't. And so that's coaching to me. That's a great year.
And really, since that game, really the only other team that's been able to get the best of us was Ben Davis in that region. And what was that, sectional championship game?
Yep.
And we've played so much as a unit, and I felt like those first couple of games of the season, you know, we just weren't playing well defensively, especially offense. We had some struggles, but as a unit, we got better and got better and got better as the weeks went on. And then last season, we see how well that team put it together. And I think you, and like I said, that's attributed to you and your coaching staff and how well you guys are able to come together and really find the best ways to get our best players in the best position for them to be successful.
Well, as you alluded earlier, you kind of asked the question. I went astray a little bit, but we have a great coaching staff. They're good men. You know, we don't bring anybody in that's not a good man. Mm-hmm. Anybody can learn football.
Correct.
It's like checkers or chess or soccer or anything else. It's, you have the will and passion to want to learn it. We have really, really good men in place, and we realize none of us are perfect, and none of us are better than anybody else. I don't care if I'm the head coach or you are, or somebody else is. Nobody wants my job, and I don't want theirs. We all play our role. And we have a good group of people that care about the kids first, and we don't make any money comparatively to what you do. I mean, it's a silly profession, really. You gotta go work thousands of hours for a couple thousand dollars. It's not a real smart move, but it's what they do, and that tells me all I need to know about them.
Well, you have to have a real passion.
Absolutely.
For the game and for kids to really coach at this level and spend so much time. There's a great book I have somewhere in my house it's really for females about how to be a great spouse that is with a person that's in the coaching profession. And it's a really good book, man.
It's like, pivotal.
I mean, like I said to your wife, you were telling me a situation here before we got started, how she was driving an hour each back and forth or twice a day to get your kids, and while you were coaching, like it's stuff like that that is really hard.
Yeah, I mean, a coach's wife life is very difficult.
Yes,
and you got to give them props for even letting us do it. Because if most wives, mothers are going to let their husband, dad get out of the house and go do something, there needs to be a very, very, very significant reward, whether it's money, mm-hmm. celebrity, whatever it is. And there's none of that in coaching. So you have to get a better half that realizes that I'm not going to make much money, but I am doing something that I have a passion for. Then it's helping people. It's helping change, you know, young adults' lives, and not just the boys, but the trainers, the athletic trainers, the people in our school, the community culture. It's bigger than you think. So like you said, in my last year, we had 3 kids under 3 when I was in Lawrence, and my wife's driving an hour, just trying to get them picked up from the sitters to all the schools. And I was getting home at 8 and the kids go to bed at 8 and I had kids on purpose, you know? So I was, wow. I just wanted to get home to see them, you know?
And I can understand that. That's part of the reason why you came to Warren.
Yeah, so absolutely. And I've lived in Warren. I had a house in Warren, so I didn't know how I was going to juggle it all. And fortunately it all worked out to where I can still coach football and my kids go to the schools here and they play here so I can see them. And it's been a great experience in that realm. And for all those wives and girlfriends and better halves, however you want to define yourself, we thank you, because this is the best thing going. There is nothing better than the game of football. It can go under all the media scrutiny at once. People can talk about all the injuries and stuff, but there's risks in life. If I walk upstairs, downstairs, go outside when it's lightning, driving a car, you know, drinking a bottle of wine, whatever it may be, there are risk factors. And football, I don't think, creates any more risk than the next thing. If you look at the data and all the things that come to it, it's the only thing that I've found that you can go where there's great diversity that loves each other, that will be in each other's weddings, that will die for each other. It's the closest thing to the military there is, and that we have each other's backs. And we're all, whether, you know, we love each other, we might not even like each other, but we love each other. And when it comes down to it, we're going to go against the other team and have each other's backs until the end. And it's a very unique dynamic that prepares you for the real world. And my kids play it, and I'll have one reservation about it. If they get hurt in it, it's devastating and heartbreaking, but there's a lot of things that can do that. They're going to drive, and as teenagers, that's much more scary to me. But I think it's the best thing going, and we need to support it.
One last thing here, Coach, before we get out of here. I think I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question, but Coach Rob, I had him on a show last season, and he and I talked, and he told me about how you and him were flipped, and he was assistant coach, and you were assistant coach under him when he was a head coach. It was Greenfield Central?
Triton Central. The Triton Central,
excuse me. What was that experience like for you, and how has it been having him being back under you and being coaching together and really having everything flipped like that?
Well, Coach Rob and I became friends in college, and he was
at Hanover, right?
Yeah, Hanover, yeah. The Hanover University, Hanover College. And he was a quarterback and I was a receiver, so we kind of built believe it or not, I was a little slot receiver. Should have been on defense immediately. Should have went to the dark side. I thought I had hands. I was delusional like most young men. But we became really, really great friends in college, along with many other Hanover guys that are out there. And our fraternity is really great in the coaching ranks. And because when you go to a Hanover, a Marion, a St. Francis, because it was NAI back then, you go there because you have a passion for football. It's not because you're getting a scholar or I have 22 offers or any of that other stupid stuff that's out there. You go there because you really want to play ball and you love the game. So you're around a lot of people who love the game. So we became really great friends right at the beginning. And I was coaching at Center Grove my first year, and there was a job opening that I had, and then it closed. Somebody didn't retire, didn't move or something. So I had no job going into 2 days after my first year at Center Grove. And Coach Moore's trying to get me in, trying to help me out, but there's nothing. So I go to Florida for 2 years and coach, because that's back then teaching was really hard to get into, because they used to riff, and teaching was a profession that everybody was trying to get into, and the baby boomers quite hadn't retired. So I had to go to Florida. So I'm in middle of Florida, Sebring, Florida, coaching, just living and doing all that stuff. And Rob is at, believe it or not, Triton Central, where I went to high school. all the hundreds of thousands of high schools in America, Rob Robertson lands at Triad Central High School.
Wow.
So he's coaching for my old head coach, Coach Fussell, who's the legend, my guy, my dude.
I think I saw him. Yeah, you talked to him at the state championship game.
That's right. Yes. You came up there. Yes, he made me fall in love with football, and that's what coaches are supposed to do, help you fall in love with the sport, teach you about life. There's no guarantees on winning, playing, scollies, any of that stuff. Fall in love with the game. Fall in love with your brothers. Have fun, you know, and learn life. And so Coach Fussell was amazing at that. But he retired at that point. And Coach Rob gets the head coaching job at Triton. I'm sorry, the Triton Central High School. And so he calls me. Hey, I got the head coaching job. I'm like, whoa, are you okay with that? You know, and he's like, yeah, it's a great opportunity. I think we have one opening in a building because we only have 500 students. There's only going to be one opening every 10 years. So I said, yeah, that makes sense. I said, do you want to come back? And they got a wrestling head coaching opportunity open too. So I'm like, sounds cool. Let's do it.
Did you know anything about wrestling before?
Yes, I wrestled. I'm a wrestling guy.
Are you?
I love wrestling. I was a 71 pounder.
Oh my God.
Semi-state guy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, a couple of years. Got a
171?
One match away. Yeah. I had to cut a little weight my senior year, got down there.
I would not have thought you were that big.
Yeah, I know. Well, now I'm a lot bigger, but we all got our problems. So he gets the job. I go
pause
up there.
Too. Let me add a pause in there real quick for those that are listening. All right, go ahead, coach.
So I come up Triton Central and he brings him up. I'm his OC, and our buddy who played in college, Nick, is our DC. And we have we get there and it's terrible. There's only like 20 kids in the program. We get it up to 60, 70. We get a lot of kids out. We had a great couple groups. We go 10-1. And after about 5 or 6 years there, I had an opportunity to go to Lawrence Central with Coach Fisher, who brought me in, and he left for Park Tudor after 1 year. So I put in for the job. I think I was like their 5th or 6th or 10th choice. I got it somehow, and the rest is history. And then as soon as I got it, I said, Rob, you want to come up? Because our goal was just to coach together. We don't care who's the head coach. We don't care who's the OC, DC. He doesn't call plays now. He does the strength coach, and he knows if I'm not there, if I'm gone, he's got it. And
he's a brilliant coach, man.
He is. He's really great, and he's one of the best DCs in Indiana for a long time, but he's now doing the strength piece and coaching quarterbacks where he's really, really great at. And the thing is, we never really cared who had what or what role. And I think that's what we've always built the program off of, is bloom where you're planted, enjoy where you're at, support each other, and have some fun. And I think that has permeated to our players and our coaches. And that's why we have such a large group of young men that are special, and as far as coaches and players. And I think that's why we have a lot of success, because they realize it's not an ego thing. It's a football thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Coach West, I appreciate you sitting down with you. Like I said, I will definitely be following the team thoroughly throughout the season. I know, right? unless they chase me out the east side and if somebody catches me out, but I doubt that'll happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they can catch you pretty fast still, but you're going to that top 50 that pressed you for a minute, but defend it, man. I think you did a great job, and I'm glad you're bringing, conversation to the Warren Central crowd. Cause like I said, it's a great program. It's been great for a long time, and it always will be, whether whoever's here. And I realize that, and I understand I'm a benefactor of that, and I'm just humbled and pleasured to be a part of it.
Well, you are definitely a huge part of it now. Ladies and gentlemen, two-time Warren Central State Championship winning head coach, Coach Jason West. Coach West, thank you.
Thanks, kid. I appreciate you.
This is David Bell, Indiana Gatorade Player of the Year, True Warrior Football Warrior Legend Award winner, the only player to win state in football and basketball here at Warren Central, and you are listening to the True Warrior Football Podcast.
Just want to say thank you again to Coach West for, first of all, allowing me to come over to his home, his lovely home, and inviting me over and allowing me to have this great interview with him. Coach West I wasn't exactly sure about Coach West when I came to the program, or when he came into the program, I should say. And I remember when he had a big meeting with all the coaching staff that were remaining following the 2012 season. I asked him, I am a big, our program came around because we were finally able to turn the tide and finally consistently compete and beat Ben Davis. And I asked him, I was like, Coach West, what are your feelings about Ben Davis here? And, you know, he answered like, he said, they're our rivals. You know, we're going to compete with those guys. It's like everybody else. And really in his time here, he's done just that. He's gone 6-3 against them. And, you know, last year won 70-27, avenging two hard losses that we had against them in 2017. And, you know, he's a coach. Like I say, he's built a great staff around here. He really does a great job of motivating our players, getting them to buy in and stuff like that. He has a program where he wants it and where it really can flourish and do some good things. So, Coach West, I appreciate you and everything you've done for the program. And, folks, once again, the season's here. The season is here. Center Grove, Friday night, under the lights, live here at Warren Central Stadium, Warrior Stadium. And we're wearing the black jerseys. We are wearing the black jerseys, the new and improved black jerseys. You know, I'm a big proponent of our black jerseys. I love them. I love them. I love them. I love them. I always want to wear those when we're at home. I don't care about any other jerseys. You can say that for other games. But against big-time opponents, against Cromwell, Ben Davis, Center Grove, especially Ben Davis, of course, I want us to wear black home jerseys always. And with us starting the season off, defending champions, okay, number one team in the AP poll, number two team in the coaches poll, hey, what better way to start and kick off the season than breaking out the new black uniforms? So, ladies and gentlemen, tune in this week. We will be the Mick Game of the Week. I will make sure I post a link for everybody on Facebook and Twitter for you guys to follow the game and watch it. It's going to be a great, great time, ladies and gentlemen. And with that being said, I'm your host, Corey Kid Smith. Make sure you rate, subscribe, and, you know, keep following and listening for all the latest and greatest news with the Warrior Central football program. Warrior Band, take us away.